Everybody doing good this morning?
Yes.
Good. I'm excited to be here. I had so much fun getting to know you guys and be here and just pour out my heart. Thanks. Thanks for letting me be here and handing me a mic and giving me this little place to stand and just pour out my heart. I want to commend you guys, the people that have been here at every meeting. I've been so incredibly receptive. I can perceive the hunger and humility in the room. It's really fun. It doesn't matter what the atmosphere is like. I'm going to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter if people are stiff and cold. It's the same truth, but you guys are far from stiff and cold. I really don't believe I shared the things I shared to correct you or set you straight this weekend at all. It's because you're able to hear it and you're going to apply it and become it. And I believe that. I don't believe God sends me to places to spank the church. He sends me to tell them who they are, so they can run well and bear fruit to His name. Amen? So, yeah. So, praise God. How many people are here and I hadn't had the privilege of seeing you yet this weekend? You weren't able to make some of the services, but you're here this morning. So, this is the first time I'm getting to see your face. Can I see your hands? It's probably a whole handful of you because I'm looking out there thinking, yeah, awesome. Okay, good deal. So, I can't do all the services over again, but I can nutshell real quick. Just where we've been all weekend, I've been on pretty much a theme, but I covered a whole lot of other stuff in between. I don't know how that happens. I'm on a theme and then I go bam, bang, boom. And I think we covered a lot this weekend, actually, didn't we?
Yeah.
But here's the gist of where we've been and where my heart always is when I teach. It's always a general theme that feels like a mandate in my heart to understand why we're Christians, to really understand why God sent His Son. And the average Christian mentality, especially in this country, because it's funny, you go to third world countries, you go to other countries where there's heavy persecution, where there's a resistance against Jesus, they actually understand they're given their life. And they actually know what they're giving themselves to. And they know that they might even die for it, and they do it anyway, and that's amazing. So they have a different understanding. But in America, we've drifted into this gospel that serves me, takes care of me, protects me, blesses me, and meets my needs instead of transforms me. So it's actually very possible to have a Christian confession nowadays in this country and just make it all about what God can do for you instead of how He can make you more like Him. And if that's your only perspective of Christianity, you're going to stay discouraged like you were before you knew Him, disappointed like you were before you knew Him. You'll stay self-centered like you were before you knew Him. And it's all counterproductive to why He came and why He's in you. And yet our hearts aren't evil. They're just misunderstanding. It's not that we're hypocrites, it's that we don't have another view. Some of us have come into the gospel. We were taught, you got to come so you can go to heaven. You got to pray this prayer so you can go to heaven. But that doesn't transform my life. That just secures me for the future. That doesn't give me a new way of thinking. That doesn't put something new inside of me. So if I'm a new creation and all things become new and old things have passed away, then I have to have a new perspective, a new understanding, a new reason for being. So this is kind of where we were all weekend. We talked about the goal of Christianity is becoming love. It's not being loved by God. It's becoming the love of God. Our focus tends to be God love you. God loves you. God loves you. He does love you. And you have to see His first love so you can love Him. And in loving Him and you are loved by Him and you love Him, guess what happens? You become the very thing, the love of God. Why is that important? Because that's how God made man in the first place. God made man in His image and in His likeness, and He put all that He is inside of man. He breathed into man, and man became a living being. The nature, the person, the essence of God is in the breath of God. It's in man in the beginning. So Jesus, honestly, He didn't just come because we're a bunch of sinners. He had to die because we sinned, but He didn't come because we're sinners. He came because we were lost. He came to redeem something. He came to restore something. He came to take something away and bring something back. Now, nobody ever taught me the gospel this way. I grew up in a church where I just was a sinner and He died on the cross and I better pray a prayer or I'm not going when the trumpet blows and I better make sure I stay in church because He is coming. That's what I grew up with. It was always about He died on the cross because I'm a sinner. Nobody ever told me He died to redeem my value, to restore my purpose. Nobody ever told me that He made me for His image and that the reason He died and became like me so I could be restored and become like Him and Christ in me is the hope of glory. That I can actually walk in love like He walks in love. That I can show mercy like He shows mercy. That I can actually have the same motives in my heart that motivated the Son of God when He was on the earth. That I could actually live selfless and prefer others and not consider my own interest, but the interest of others. And when this thing hit my heart when I was 33, it became my life. And I realized, man, I didn't have to bite my lip to change myself. What I saw changed me. What I yielded to changed me. What I believed changed me. And all of a sudden, I realized the truth made me free. And all of a sudden, I didn't have expectations on you. You weren't set up to fail me. I didn't know how to be disappointed anymore. I didn't have any triggers. I didn't have like thin skin or touchy nerves. All of a sudden, I realized I was changed. Why? Because I woke up for a different reason than I ever woke up before. All of a sudden, I didn't wake up to need anything. I woke up to be something. All of a sudden, I wasn't trying to survive or get through or have you like me or say something nice or feel better about myself or look important in your eyes. All of a sudden, I was complete and secure in Christ and actually found the truth in Him, and the truth made me free, and nobody owed me a thing, and yay. And all of a sudden, I get up and realize nobody owes me nothing. And it took away self-consciousness and fear of man and false identity and low esteem. And all of a sudden, I look in a mirror and see what Jesus saw all the time. And all of a sudden, I look at you and see what He sees when He sees you. And now I got the best look at you because I finally see me in Him and I got a good look at you. You get what I'm saying? Come on, this sure beats insecurity, identity crisis, push and shove, tit for tat. He said, she said, and I feel, well, I don't, well, how come? Jesus didn't teach us any of that. We were taught that by a lie. We were taught by the wisdom of the world. We were homeschooled in the wrong home, people. The way that seemeth right to a man trained every one of us. And we passed with flying colors. There was no flunk out in the school of life. Every man for himself. Every man self-conscious. Every man trying to find who he is and where he fits and what he's worth from the time he can remember. It's a rat race and nobody's winning. You can seem like you're on top and have prestige and you can have this and that. But if you don't have Him and fulfillment and identity through Him, you can be winning the rat race. You're still a rat, meaning you're still all about you. I didn't call you a rat. Somebody laughs at you in grade school. They laugh at what you're wearing. You're in second grade and they make fun of your lunchbox. And two other kids chime in and laugh. And right there, you're being dictated and pottered and etched and fashioned. And however you respond to that, you either become a fighter, you become hard in your heart, or you become broken, introverted, insecure, and question yourself. Now you push and shove to get the laughter away and get something good to come. Next thing you know, you're driven to be somebody because you have no idea who you are. It's happened to every one of us in this room. Life has decided who you were, and you were nothing more than a product of how you responded to how it went down. And it was all a self-centered response, survival and preservation. Dog eat dog, survival of the fittest. And it's called Adam, the fall of man, separation from God. We have to make sure that we never make this gospel about us surviving, getting through, or catching a fair break, or having a better day. This gospel is about stepping into a truth we were created for and leaving the lie behind. It's about putting off the old and putting on the new. It's about becoming something different than you've ever been before. It's not bless me, I'll give to you, give back to me. It's not I do for you, you do for me. You don't become a Christian so God protects everything you hold dear. You become a Christian so who He is comes inside of you and you can live like Him, love like Him, and be more like Him by His Spirit. Anything less isn't Christianity. It's what we made it to be. We made it all about blessings. We made it all about favor. We made it all about prosperity. He made it all about love. And He said, if you don't love, you don't know Him. He didn't say you don't go to church. He didn't say you don't pastor. He didn't say you don't lead worship. He didn't say you don't tithe. He didn't say you don't go on a mission trip. He said, if you don't love, you don't know Him. That means knowing Him is life changing. And that means you can't know Him without becoming like Him. And this is eternal life, not a prayer that takes you to heaven. And this is eternal life, that you might know Him, the only true God, and His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. What's eternal life? Knowing Him. Not knowing about Him, not preaching about Him, not singing to Him, not praying to Him when you're overwhelmed. Knowing Him is eternal life. And I can't know Him without becoming like Him. This is where we were all weekend, so this is where we are this morning. It's not redundant, it's life-changing. Let me explain something as a pastor. This is why we gather on a Sunday. to stay fixed and focused on who we are and why ye came and what my life is now that he's here. This is where you rub elbows and look around and celebrate a truth that we're all growing in. This is where we recognize the unity of faith. This is where there's synergism and it's amazing. Corporate worship. Who knows? That was fun and powerful. When we sang, what a beautiful name. And then it turns into a powerful name. And then, I'm sitting there all relaxed and chilling. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to stand up and this thing came on me. I felt, rawr! You know, but I tried to. And then I look at you and I got to go, rawr! It's just so awesome! What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. I guess only he could be the lion and the lamb. I guess, man, he's amazing. Why do we gather on Sunday? See, I'm just here for a weekend, so I want to stir and stimulate your heart. I want to help leadership and pastor and just sow into this house. I want to hold you all accountable. You're here, and I'm glad you're here. I'm not correcting you for being here. I think it's awesome you're here. But let's be the stewards of our heart and make sure that we always know why we're here. Let's be sure we always have a reason for being, that we don't just come because it's the church we belong to, or we don't just come because it's Sunday and we ought to go to church because we're Christian. Let me tell you what that can look like if you're not careful. You teach yourself religion, don't even know it. You have to understand why you're here. You don't ever just get lulled to sleep and just come because it's Sunday and we meet at 10. You don't just come and sing to him and you haven't talked to him all morning. That's dangerous. It's really dangerous to draw your relationship from God through the things we do at church. You don't let church attendance take the place of knowing him. Knowing him empowers your attendance. Yes. You hear me? Please, I'm not condemning you. I'm encouraging you. So this thing is viable and real. And we're never just the form of something we're actually empowered and called to be. So we have resources and something to give in the moment, and we're in our job and a light is shining through us and we're not trying to be lit. We just think different and believe different and we have a different attitude and our perspective's different and we don't know how to be bummed out and ho-hum and whatever. Because there's life inside of us. And we're not offended at him and we're not mad at our boss because nobody owes us a thing and I'm on the earth to shine. I'm on the earth to be like him. He said, as he is, so am I in this world. As the Father sent me, so I send you. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. Need any more scriptures? I have a few. Or is that enough? Proves the point. Out of every mouth, two or more. Every word's confirmed. I gave you three. That's more than two. Confirmed. Bam. Come on. Don't be shocked by this morning. Be shook and be sobered and make sure you're not asleep. Yeah? Make sure you don't just, oh, honey, the kids, we got to get to church. We're always late. I told you I didn't want to be late. Well, I thought you were getting the kids. I said, oh, whatever, just get them ready. Come on, kids. Well, I want some cereal. It's okay. We got to rush. Come on, I'm sorry. Again, I'm overplaying a little, but not too far off. Come on, get in the car. But I'm tired. It's okay. You can rest at church. We just got to get there, honey. We don't want to be too late. Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I was trying to. I know, but we just need to communicate better. Okay, honey? Yeah, okay. Look, love you, babe. It's okay. We got, come on, let's go. We get to our. Like, what are we doing? Like, what? Stop. No. Because all of a sudden it reveals that we're finding our identity through what we're a part of instead of what we've become. And all of a sudden we're letting church attendance take the place of knowing him and don't even realize we're doing it. We're not evil. We're not hypocrites. We didn't do it on purpose. It just happens that way. We've got to stay sharp. Sharp. Steward of your heart. Sober. Amen. Wake up in the morning and understand why you're alive and why you woke up. It looks something like this. I'll just be free today. I never did this in my life. It's like something like this. You wake up in the morning. Wow, you look at your clock. Whoa, I got to get up. Wow, Lord, thank you for the honor of today. I thank you that life's a gift. Man, I remember not far back, I didn't even want to get out of bed, half depressed and didn't have purpose. I remember trying to fit in and mad at my boss and didn't want to go to work. God, life is a gift. You gave me this little window. You gave me this little window in a body. You know, God, I just appreciate you. God, I just thank you for your love for me. You're teaching me so much. I have a whole new reason for being. Today, I acknowledge before you, nobody owes me a thing. My life's complete in you. There is no hidden expectations in my heart. Nobody is set up to fail me today. I see men worth your blood. I see men with destiny. I see men with value. God, what an honor I can go to church this morning and celebrate with people and just go there and be love. I'm not going to be loved. I'm going to be love. And I'm just going to acknowledge, encourage, and edify and corporately worship you. Thanks for keeping my heart stirred. Thanks, your truth never changes and your love never fails. I am so glad to be alive.
Good morning, Lord.
And you crawl out of bed and you go and scrub up and you get out of your house and know who you are and know why. I can't tell you how many times I left my bedroom in the beginning. I don't do it anymore. I'm just brainwashed. Like it's become my knowing. I don't mean brainwashed in a scary way. People say, you seem like my coworkers used to say, you're like brainwashed. And I'd mess with them. I'd say, my brain has been thoroughly washed. You know, people think caught and all this stuff. Are you kidding me? You're washed with the water of the word. You're not conformed to the world. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renew your mind, study it out, means thinking like you've never thought before. He brought a new and living way. You don't bring him into your life. He becomes your life. Yeah? You don't serve him. You're one with him. Yeah? If all you do is serve him, you're just doing things for him instead of becoming like him. And then you're set up to fail. And then you're not sure you're serving good enough. And then you get ho-hum. And then you back down. And next thing you know, you're weary and doing good. Now you stir your heart. You understand where you're alive. Young people, understand where you're alive. Don't you get caught up in that thing that's out there and everybody trying and who's who. And be careful, this whole social media and everybody's opinions. Be careful, you don't get lulled to sleep and just live by the way that seemeth right and not produce life. This is why we're here, guys. On a Sunday morning, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together in order that you might stir one another in love and good works. You know why we gather here? So we hear about what he did and accomplished and who we are now that he came. Unity of faith, all waking up for the same reason. And our diversity of callings and giftings and graces. There's so much in this room that's diversity. There's so many different burnings in here. So many different directions of calling and passion and graces and personality and expression. But in all that diversity, we have this amazing thing called unity. How's that work? In our diversity, we find unity because we all do what we do for the same reason. We all wake up for the same reason. You might like it loud. I might like it soft. You might like it slow or fast. And I might like it the other. That doesn't make us different. What makes us one is we all wake up to be like him. You get it? We all wake up to be like him. You say, well, I'm into the elderly. I'm into the homeless. I'm a street minister. I'm a children's worker. No, that's stop. That's not your identity. That doesn't make us different. Don't lord your burning over burnings. Don't think that what you're called to in your niche is greater than, well, I'm an intercessor. Be careful with that. Nothing happens without prayer. Be careful. You're finding your identity. You're making yourself feel like somebody. You're acting like you're a more important part. Be careful. I oversaw intercession for a long time. I led intercession. I had to talk to a lot of intercessors over the years because they came into it for the wrong reason, finding their identity through intercession. Prayer is important. Keep interceding. But you're a son and a daughter before you're an intercessor. You're loved before you're an intercessor. You're loved before you're a prayer warrior. Be careful you don't let your calling become your identity and find pride in something that's simply a grace. There's no boasting in men. No one would have a thing if he didn't give it. Don't you make heroes out of men. You make a hero out of him and let him have his way in you. Yeah? Man, if he didn't let me see, I'd see nothing. If he didn't let me understand, I'd understand nothing. I don't even share this testimony much, but it was a long time ago. It was 20 years ago. People were like, oh, you're so awesome. Oh, you're this in my little town. And God's moving and miracles. And I'd minister a certain way. I wouldn't even leave the pulpit. I just thought you had to manifest and it made it God moving. And people are into manifestations big time. Why? Because we live sensual. Ma'am, you stand up fire. Oh! Three people over here. All the time. People say, why don't you minister like anymore? Because it got weird and it became important, and I'm not even sure all of it was God. Because the motive was weird. But it sure entertained people and brought them to the meetings, and they sure wanted that move. I think he'd rather you become like him and live in your day fruitful. Than sit and watch people stick to a floor. I don't care if you vibrate and shake all day. How are you loving? How are you walking in him? In that season, I saw people shake. They had to carry him to cars and they still had cancer. That bothers me. There was a lot going on in that season. It was a blur. People were making me somebody. And I started to subtly believe I was somebody. And it became important to minister a certain way. And one night I went to a church because God spoke to me about this. And I kind of like, yeah. And a month later I went to a church and everybody's laying out prostrate. The music was ridiculous. This girl was down on her knees. All the musicians were prostrate and the pastor and his wife were out. I should have joined them. This girl was out like this and her hand was up and somehow she was making it rain with the high keys, man. It just was ridiculous. And everybody's like, and I'm standing there, oh God, this is going to be amazing. What do you want to do? How do you want to get this ball rolling? What do you want to show me? What do you want to tell me? And I fixed on this lady right in this area. And I went, what about her? Bam, bam, details, time frame, bam. Oh, man. It was a word that if you're wrong, you look really foolish. But if you're right, men go, whoa, dangerous stuff. If your motive's not pure and your heart's not pure, very. Maybe some people need to hear stories like this to understand why I'm so nonsense, but yet I'm gentle and approachable and loving, but I ain't playing. This thing is real. We're in a war. Light is real. Darkness is real. Light is greater. Yes. Yeah? Because that night, you let this happen to you and tell me if you'll be changed. Tell me if you'll get like this. That night, I saw that lady and I heard that word and I went, whoo, and I just couldn't wait to deliver the word. And of course, you learn how to ease into the atmosphere. So I picked up a handheld mic, which I don't even like. I flipped it on and I'm going to go. You know, obviously, God is in this place. Many of you right now are experiencing God. I tell you, he's here and he wants to move and move even more. You know, it's sad, but you kind of learn how to do what you do. I took the handheld and I flipped it on and I went and had no human ability to speak. Why? Because I ask God all the time to father me. Don't let me get sidetracked. Don't let me make a mistake. Don't let me hurt your name, mar your name. I have more of a confidence in you to keep me than me to mess up. So I'm going to run hard, but you keep me straight. You father me. Why do some people make mistakes and don't get fathered? You have to position to be fathered. You have to say you're a son. You have to believe you're a son. You have to believe you're a daughter. You have to thank him for guiding and leading. And the last thing I want is pride in my heart. The last thing I want is to get weird. The last thing I want is to mess up anything. God knows that. I know that. And I ask him to keep me. I take the mic. You put yourself in my shoes. This really happened just like this. I flipped the mic. It's a pretty freaky thing when you try to talk and can't. And a minute ago you could. And he said, see, Dan, you couldn't even speak if I didn't let you. And I can still hear the microphone bouncing off the wood podium because it just came right out of my hand. It's like I got shot with a gun. Boom, I can still hear it hitting and rolling and crashing onto the floor. And I just fell in a ball and cried for a very long time. No human ability to speak. Caught up in the manifestation. Woo, fire. Ah. Woo. Be careful. It's all about him. Seek ye first his kingdom. Come on, if all that was God, it's all him anyway. But then we run to men, we gravitate to men, and we reveal that our only access to God is through one another. You have access to God. Be with him. The only one that can keep you from him is you, because his door's wide open, and the blood's speaking better things, and his arms are open wide. The only one that can keep you from him is you. Believing you can't, believing he won't, believing lies. But if you look at the word, the table's set. Sit down and sup. I cried so hard. I got up off of that place finally. I was a mess. I didn't even know. I was so undone. I was so struck by the Lord. It changed me. It made me sharp. It made me serious. It made me realize how subtle things are. It made me realize this thing is real. It made me realize it's not a game. It's not entertainment. We're not... He paid His life for this thing. And at the same time, it's not overbearing, overwhelming, and too heavy to carry. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Why? Because it's not about you and you can let that go. Woo! Why is His yoke easy and His burden light? Because it's not about you. You don't have to carry the weight of caring for you, thinking for you, and how you feel, and what you think, and what they think, and how you look, and what... Ah! That's pressure! All about me. How am I going to make it? Where's this going to come from? Are they going to like me? Am I going to get the job? How am I going to do it? How am I going to retire? Where am I going to get up? And then you tap into God trying to help get Him to help make all that work that you're caring about. So your Christianity becomes He's the answer to everything you care about. No, you're not to carry care. He's your shepherd. You don't want. Seek ye first the kingdom. And all these things line up. You seek ye first the kingdom. You don't seek Him for your kingdom. You seek ye first the kingdom. You think for the kingdom. And everything else will make sense. You lay down your life. And you'll live in the biggest blessing realm you've ever experienced. You will be so complete and fulfilled. You won't know what to do. You'll just spill out on others. You won't try to evangelize. Love is evangelistic. You won't try to evangelize. You won't have to go to evangelistic school. That's works and robotic if we're not careful. Light and love is evangelistic. The nature of God is evangelistic. Christ in me is evangelistic. Yay. Are you guys okay? I know I'm not. Are you? I'm sorry. But God took my voice and shook me. And this isn't my fault. It's not my fault. Write Him a letter. Send Him an email. Don't send them to me. I won't answer them. He took my voice. And it's real. And He saved me from where my heart was heading because it wasn't willful. He rescued me from a simple mistake that was going to be detrimental to my life. Why? Because He loves me. And He loves to live in me and reveal Himself through me. So He just wanted to make sure it was a clear representation. Yeah. And so it wasn't about me, but it was all about Him. So from that point, He began to father me and keep my heart in a beautiful place. For a while, I drew way back and didn't even want to do nothing called ministry. I was afraid to slip my heart back into that place. And He came and comforted me in prayer one morning. He said, hey, I was down worshiping God and just thank you, Lord. And praying some general stuff in the morning before the day. And He just slipped up. It's like He slipped up beside me and put His arm around me. It was like, hey. That night when I took your voice, I was just getting your attention. I wanted you to find a healthy place in your heart. I didn't tell you to turn off. Wow. I said, but Lord, I'm so afraid that I'm... I was a mess, man. You talk about powder me, rock me. That was right there. And He just... Yeah. He just took care of me. He just said, listen, He's so gentle. He said, this is never about speaking. Don't be afraid. And I thought, wow. And then I realized that manifestation alone, taking my voice, it's like a lifetime subscription to sobriety. You get what I'm saying? Like He crossed me across the line, there's no return. Like I realized that moment protects me from ever going back there. It was so real. See, because He didn't take your voice, He took mine. So I'm talking from my shoes. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you. The first time I was 4 months saved in my church, we had a guest speaker come. And this guest speaker preached for 5 days and everybody's woo partying, dancing around the church, music's going crazy, people laying everywhere, things happening, testifying of healing. So he gets in his van and leaves and we... have Sunday morning service. He left on Friday. We had Sunday morning service And the worship leader's cranking. Who knows what I mean? Who's a worship leader knows what it means? Like plowing ground, atmosphere is not happening. And everybody's just kind of like, "You're almighty and amazing. There's none like you." And I'm standing there and I'm singing and I'm like, I just realized it seems like a funeral. And I said, "Lord, I'm 4 months saved. Is something wrong?" He said, "They believe I left when he left. I want you to go tell pastor that I'm here and to give you an opportunity to share your heart a little, and I'll let them know I'm here." And I went, "Huh? I'm 4 months saved." I felt bad for my pastor because I'm going to go tell him God just spoke to me, but I didn't do that. I was nervous and I went over to him. He said, "Yeah." I said, "I was just asking the Lord what's going on. It feels really like something." He said, "Yeah." And pastor knew what was going on. I said, "Well, I just heard the Lord speak to my heart. He said everybody thinks that God left when the man left on Friday. But he said that if you would give me a minute to share a couple of things out of my heart, he would let the people know he's still here. But you're the pastor, and I'm not even sure that's God. And I know I'm only 4 months saved, so I don't have any expectations. So you do what you hear, and I'll respect it, because I don't even know what I'm going to do." So that way it wasn't like, "Listen, God said, and you're supposed to..." That's what people do to their leaders. And then if the leader says no, they tell a friend their leader's controlling. And no, you're immature and need to stop. And if you got frustrated when I said that, it's because I'm right. Because even if I wasn't, there's no room for frustration. It means it's about you. If you're frustrated, it's about you. Good warning sign, good barometer, good measuring stick. If you're frustrated about something, it's about you. Yeah? So I'm standing there. I go sit down. My pastor steps up and stops the worship. And I went, "Oh no, he's calling me up there." And I panicked. I'm 4 months saved, totally in love with Jesus. I had already seen two miracles in my life at 4 months old that were totally solo, not at church, not at an altar. They were just through my life, in my life. It was amazing. Two, to me, major, incredible miracles. And I'm 4 months saved. So everybody already was seeing Jesus in my life. The pastor stood up and he stopped the music. And I was sitting there and I remember being scared. And I was like, it's a good place to be. It's humility. You're like, you're not like, "Yeah, give me the mic." It's fear and trembling. You're like, "Lord, this got to be you. I don't even know what you want to do. I don't know." And I'm sitting there and I said, "Lord, this better be you. Like, pastor's stopping the worship. He's calling me up there. And I mean, I don't even know what to do. And I believe you're here. I really do. And I believe you're in me." And I was just talking like a four-month-old would talk. Not, I was talking in a very minimal way. And I'm sitting there. I'll never forget it. It was overwhelming. When this stuff happens to you, you're not seeking a manifestation. You're not seeking feelings. You're just living sincere out of your heart. And all of a sudden at my elbows, this vibration started. And it came the whole way down my forearms, in my hands, and through my fingers. My hands felt like they got three times bigger. And they felt like they were in a paint shaker, shaking, but they weren't moving. See, I'm a pastor. I've run some risks in my life trying to talk to people and help them with a door closed. We've had people in our church, they're like, "Oh, the Lord is so on me, and he wants to..." I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh! Where is he? You're the best. She said, "It's so good you did that to me and not him." See why I did it to her? She's so awesome. I was in an altar one night praying, and you're just in the heat of it. It was a pretty intense night. There was something God said and did, and the altar calls are God sometimes, right? They're not always, but sometimes. And I'm there, and I go down the line, this lady's there, and she has this amazing hair. I didn't realize it till I put my hand through it. It was amazing hair. And you could tell she just had it done. It was amazing hair. And I went, oh, because I'm in this flow, right? And I go, and she's like standing there, and her hair just, and I'm like, oh no. I'm going to pull my hand back, and there's a huge handprint. And she's going to leave, and they're going to say, wow, you had hands laid on you, sister. I mean, I was horrified. I went, oh my. I went like this, and her hair went, whew, right back, exactly. I was like, oh, that was either great hair or you did that, but thank you. And I scared her. But I've seen people do this, and the person they're praying for is greatly distracted. And they're like, and they're saying, oh, the anointing. Oh, sorry, I just shake when the Spirit of God comes out of me. And the person going, and they're not shaking, the person's shaking them. They're, oh, Jesus. And then they let them go, and they say, how do you feel? The same. We got to stop that stuff. Stop it. It devalues the holy presence of God and the power of God. You're saying the anointing is so strong on you and the pain in your elbow didn't leave? It's not about all that. It's about simple faith and love and finished work. And there's times I'm sitting in my chair and God goes, and I'm like, I'm 4 months saved and my hands aren't even shaking. And it almost hurt what was going on in my body. And I went, oh. And then I can't even explain it. This thing like a lion came on me. And all of a sudden I was a preacher. And I was 4 months saved. And I was a preacher. And I got up, pastor said, Dan's brought it to my attention that he heard the Lord did this. And he has some words to say. And he said, Dan. And it wasn't like, I went, thank you. Later on in my life, I would get vibrations, numb. And then the Lord said, hey, you get more confident when you feel me more. You get less confident when you don't. Stop that. I'm always the same. I just do those feelings to encourage you to move forward in things you've never done. And da, da, da. He said, Dan, it's a grace. It's like patting a baby on the bottom when it's learning to walk. I'm calling you into things and I'm just letting you know I'm right here. It's a grace to get you, but you have to believe. You live by faith. It's just a grace. Don't live by the feeling. Stop living by the feeling. You're living by the manifestation of the anointing. And when you feel me strong, you're confident and bold as a lion. When you don't feel me, you try to work me up and you try to get there to be confident. And the whole time I'm the Lord. The whole time I'm the healer. And I went, huh? What? What? Because the feelings are so fun. When you're, it's so fun. It's easy. It's fun. Right? And one day I realized I wasn't feeling God like that when I prayed for the sick. In fact, it was getting so kind of funny in a nervous way. I never got nervous, but it was like so, like, what? In a strange way. Funny in a strange way. I would go to pray for the sick or have an altar call and zoop, it would feel like I wasn't born again. Like, I felt like God wasn't even here. It got that hollow. I'd pray and he'd still be God and still do the same things. So I get in my car and I said, Lord, why don't I feel you when I pray for the sick? It's only when I worship, I essentially, there's times where, whoo, yeah, whoa, we're talking, wow, yeah, and we laugh. But when I go to pray for the sick, that vibration, that numbness, that thing, it never comes. Why? He said, Dan, you've been caught living by feelings. He said, watch. I'm driving in my car crying. He said, watch. Profound. The Lord is so wise. Watch. You'll follow this. I've removed the feelings from you so you minister unlimited. You just believe I am. Did you get it? I hear preachers preach, wait on the anointing. When aren't you anointed? When aren't you anointed? When can't you believe? The just live by faith or the manifestation of the anointing? Faith. Is there a reality of the manifestation anointing? Absolutely. Does he impregnate the atmosphere sometimes with incredible outpourings and presence? Absolutely. God knows exactly what I'm saying, so don't you get offended. He is not bothered one bit with what I'm saying. He doesn't want you to live for an atmosphere when the atmosphere is the kingdom of God and it's in you. I'm not putting down anything. I've just been around pretty much full circle, and God took my voice and it shook me. And God took feelings and it humbled me. I've seen more miracles and more healings and more powerful things since he took the feelings. I've seen terminal cancer leave and they didn't feel a thing. I prayed for people that shook and screamed and said they were on fire and the cancer was still there. I could care less if you shake and bake and quake. My goal is the cancer get out of you. I could care less if they have to carry you to the car. Are you healed? John's disciples said, Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? He didn't say, go back and tell John. People are shaking, quaking, stuck to the floor. He said, the lame are walking, and the blind are seeing, and the deaf are hearing, and the poor are having the gospel preached, and blessed is he who has no offense in me. That's the sign of the gospel. Not manifestations, the sign of the gospel. See, in the 90s, when I got saved and started to minister, there was so much manifestation starting up back then that people would send you emails and say, brother, we're considering inviting you to our church. We're wondering what follows your ministry. So then you roll in on the red carpet of ministry and you're the anointed man coming with the manifestations to deliver for a weekend of fun. It's not cool. Those people are still mad at their spouses. They're still yelling at their kids. They're still dipping into the porn and they're still sleeping together. I've learned. I'm a pastor. I'm not judging anybody. I noticed in the biggest times when we were all laying on the floor, I did the most counseling for all kinds of other stuff because we're letting this stuff take the place of knowing him, and knowing him is what changes us. See, you don't say, boy, I blew up on my wife this morning. Thank God for the grace of God. The grace of God keeps you from blowing up. I know some of you aren't used to talking like this. I can feel it. But I'm not being mean. It's sobering. We got to make sure that we understand why he's in us. And he's not in us to feel good and have fun, even though I'm having the time of my life. I am. I'm going to get on a plane today. Somebody's probably going to say, how are you? And I'm going to tell them. I'm not going to be like, well, hanging in there, man. Just hoping my flight stays on time so I can get home. You know, travel, it really wears you down. I'm just ready to get home, man. Just thanks for asking, though. It's nice. At least it's sunny. Probably not going to respond like that. How are you? Oh, hanging in there, man. Thanks. Thanks for asking. Where are you heading? Why were you here? You heading home? Yeah, why were you here? And then you know what happens? I usually hear something for them, or I hear something they're going through or concerned about or going on in their body. And I see more people than I can remember sit there and cry and get touched by Jesus on my way home or on my way here. It's just fun. They look at you and say, wow, you're really passionate. You believe? Wow. And I say, what, do you see passion in me? I'm actually trying not to overwhelm you. Oh, I see passion in you. Man, and I thought I was being calm. I'm 10 times more on the inside than you're probably seeing. But the thing is, you ask me how I'm doing, I'm like a pool court doll. How are you doing? Oh, yeah. I got an implanted message. And the string ain't broken, neither is the voice box, baby. You ask me how I'm doing, that's about a mile cord. And if you don't pull it again, I'll probably reach over. Those things aren't going to happen if I'm self-consumed, self-centered, self-focused, worried about the seat I'm in. Wow, this person's taking up more room than I wish. Bummer, middle seat. Wow, close connection. Don't know if I'm going to make it. Come on. And we're using all our faith in prayer for our flight to work out and everything to go smooth. And the only reason we're praying is for our sake, so convenience happens. Father, I just pray that I find favor with my seat, and I just find favor, God, that I could sit beside the two skinniest people on the plane. And Lord God, I just thank you that. And then you go there, and there's two people filling your seat, and you go, my prayers don't work. I just sat on the flight. I'm not being rude. I could hardly see my seat. And I said, hey, girls. I stayed warm and cozy the whole flight, man. I felt, I was like, oh. I didn't say, you gotta be kidding me. Flight attendant, how do you expect me to sit there? Come on, I'm a frequent flyer. I got so many. Well, if you're a frequent flyer, why didn't you get one? Why didn't you select? Because I let it fall where it falls because somebody's got to sit there. Why can't it ever be me? Why can't it ever be me? Right? I was at the airport and this lady was freaking out. She's just freaking out. She couldn't get home. She got caught in an oversale. I thought, man, she is shook up. It was excessive. She was just shook up. She's not used to flying. So it was a scary thought to stay in Detroit overnight. Strange city. Girl. She's talking to her husband on the cell phone, bawling, crying, telling the lady, you need to do something to get me out of here. How can I be oversold? I thought I had a ticket. And I mean, it's oversells aren't cool for the customer. But she's falling apart. So I'm listening to all this. I'm sitting there and I just came from preaching. Prefer others, love not your own life unto death. And I'm going, yeah, Lord, this is easy. I walked over. I said, hey, gate agent, the lady over there, man, she's really upset. Gate agents usually hold it together pretty cool. She said, that lady, and I have about how. I said, no, listen, she's just shook. She doesn't fly. Well, whatever she is, she's out of control. And I'm just about to. And I'm like, shh, honey, it's okay. Listen. I said, Dan Muller, here's my boarding pass. That's my seat. Give her my seat. I'll take her place. Sound familiar? I'll take her place. Sound familiar? Somebody take your place? You can't give up a seat? He hung on a cross? Come on. You're a Christian for benefit and blessing? I don't think so. You're a Christian for surrender, sacrifice, and lay down your life. You're Christian for favor and blessing? I don't think so. The blessing is in giving. It's better to give than receive. Come on, carry your cross. Don't just come to church. Be her. Yeah. Going to church will never change the world.
That's right.
Becoming love will.
Yep. Yes.
That lady said to me, sir, you're a confirmed passenger. You have a seat. You're not in the oversight. Why would you give her your seat? Nobody gives a seat. You have a seat. You can get home. I said, I know. That's a problem, isn't it? Nobody gives their seat. Each to his own. Survival of the fittest. Whatever. I want to bless her. I want to help her. She's overwhelmed, ma'am. Is she out of control? Yeah. Does she have to go this excessive? No, but to her it's real. I just want to love her enough to get her home. Do me a favor. Don't tell her what happened. Just give her the seat. Don't even point to me. Don't tell her a man gave you. Just get her home. He said, well, what's evangelistic about that? How do you even minister Jesus to her? You ain't even getting her saved. Would you stop? It's called loving somebody. It's called not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing. She prints her out a boarding pass. The lady's just like, well, I can't believe you're giving her a seat. And I explain. She's like, wow. So it convicts the gate agent. Sews into her. She calls the lady. She says, hey. She says, come to the desk. She said, I got you a seat, a boarding pass and a seat. She said, good. And she snatched it out of her hand and said, because I need to get on this plane. She handed it to the lady and the lady couldn't handle it. She said, well, that man over there gave you his seat. I was like, she heard it, but she kept on walking. I didn't do it to evangelize her. I just did it to help her because she was overwhelmed. It wasn't a solicit. It wasn't a power play. It wasn't a scheme. It wasn't a. I wasn't. You know what we do? We think it's so cool. We go, man, they're all sitting out on the road in a hot parade. They're watching the parade. It's so hot. Let's go hand them all out water and share Jesus. That's a marketing tool to them. You're giving them water not because you care. You're giving them water to have access so you can tell them about what you believe so you can get them to believe what you believe. The water's not an act of kindness. It's a tool. When do you give them water? Because they're thirsty.
Uh-huh.
I didn't give her my seat so I could evangelize her. I gave her my seat because I was sincere and wanted to get her home. It was that simple. Who knows? Holy Spirit can work with that if He wants to. Who knows, when the lady burst out, it might not have been weakness. It might have been the Lord. He might have poked her. Bah! And now the lady's in there thinking, somebody gave me this seat? And I was falling apart because I didn't have one and somebody gave them? Oh my goodness, they must have saw how shook I was. And I wonder who did that. Should think about that. God can use that. A friend could say, maybe it would. Did you ever think? You just don't know. It's just right to love. So if love never fails, never fail to love. So Delta rolls up to me, the agent. He says, stay right here. They're going to be coming with your check. And I said, my check? He said, well, yeah, you're in the oversale, aren't you? You and this young man are in an oversale. I said, yeah. Well, what about a check? He said, well, it's a federal law. We have to pay you 200% your ticket price. And I said, do people know that? He said, no. I said, if they knew that, they wouldn't freak out when they're oversold. He said, well, we take a risk when we oversell, and it's a great inconvenience to our customers. We're playing the odds and numbers, and we oversell the seats thinking we'll get more money for the flight. But if it backfires and people are left behind, we have to pay them 200% their ticket value. Well, my ticket was $433, so they handed me $866 in my pocket. I waited 2.5 hours, ate lunch on a voucher, and flew home 2.5 hours later with $866 for being kind. Bam! Bam! This kid's beside me. I'm like, he said, what are they bringing these checks for? I said, man, he just told me. You didn't hear what he said? It's an oversale, and there's a federal law, and I didn't know nothing about it. And I said, when are you leaving? He said, tomorrow morning. I said, oh my goodness, you're getting $1,060 because you're over 4 hours. The maximum is $1,060 if you're inconvenienced over 4 hours. I was only inconvenienced for 2.5. So they gave me 200% my ticket value, but you're getting $1,060. He said, they're giving me a check for $1,060 for getting oversold? I have a hotel voucher and a meal voucher, and I'm getting a check for $1,060? He's like, dude. I mean, he's 20. He's rich right now. Rich. Rich. He's like, dude, I wish I get oversold all the time. I mean, and I thought, these mastermind 20-year-olds with technology, he's going to figure a way to crack the system and get oversold. And one day I saw him down the road sitting in first class, serving him drink. And like, what do you do, sir? Man, you're young. What do you do for a living? Get oversold. About $175 a year. Oversold. What? Yeah. I just buy tickets that are oversold and then they pay me the value. Look, I got to stop. It's 12. I don't want to blow nothing up. We got kids and things. What? Oh, yeah. You're not selling me with that. All. Don't get all. No, I am. I'm stopping because we're not here to be here all day. We're here to be inspired and encouraged. Here's the reason we gather on Sunday. We gather to corporately celebrate Him, look around and realize we're not alone. We're not Elijah in a cave. We're a part of something that God's doing. We have intention. We have vision. We have purpose. We're not just Christians that attend such and such a church. We have vision and purpose. We gather together, get stirred up on Sunday in love and good works and the reason for being, and we break and leave and look a little more like Him than when we came. That's the goal. That's what this man should understand. That's what this leadership should understand. We are not here to do church. We are here to be church.
Yes.
Yeah? And if we don't keep in front of ourselves why we're here and why we gather, we could find ourselves years down the road, had a lot of fun at church and failed to be her. And all of a sudden, this is a place you connect and find identity instead of get it formed, trained, and equipped and empowered. Because that's why He came. And I'm telling you, if we make it anything else, we'll make it what He didn't come for. The goal of our instruction is love. If we miss becoming love, we've missed why He came. Adam got cut off from love and became in need of love. Jesus grafted us back in to become love. Yeah? Every one of us was born into Adam, and every one of us needed love from the time you can remember. You needed valued, you needed protected, and a lot of us didn't get that. And it hurt us, and we still talk about it and make the reason we are the way we are. See how influential this thing is? And we need years of counseling to try to talk us through the pain. Why? Because we were born outside of identity, not knowing who we are, and not knowing who we were, in need of love. Jesus comes to redeem us and get us back into the Father, out of Adam, into Him. So Adam gets cut off. The image dies, cut off from love and being love, to being in need of love. We're all born into Adam, and you must be born. And we turn born again into a prayer that takes me to heaven and blesses me instead of transforms and restores me. The reason He came was to put His life in you so you could live His life through you. I'm going to pray over you and turn it over to your pastor. This is Sunday morning teaching time, cheering you on, letting you know why you're here. If you guys didn't know why you're here, I just cued you in. If leadership wasn't sure, this is why we're here, guys. David, pass it around. Yeah. See how much they don't want me to quit? Look at that. He's stopping. No. I can't believe it. Look how devastated he is just because I'm winding down. Look, son, it's all right. I got to pray. I got to quit. Okay, look. It's going to be all right. You ready? You going to pray? Yeah. Father, I just thank You for this morning. I thank You for truth. I thank You for revelation. I thank You for grace. And Lord God, I just pray that every person would be humble today and be the true steward of their own heart, not another's. And I pray that everyone would have heard this message for their own life, not someone else. And God, I just thank You that You bring strength, empowerment, and increase in the expression of who You are through us. And Father, I just thank You for the work You're doing. I pray blessing over this leadership. I pray wisdom over this pastor and his precious wife. I pray, God, that You give them insight and revelation and understanding. Let their hearts always be encouraged and strong. God, I ask that You give Kyle wisdom beyond his years. I ask that You give him wisdom beyond his study. I ask that the grace and gift of wisdom would come into his life and that he would just understand things and see things. That he would just know. That he'd have time and time again people looking at him perplexed. White-haired, silver-haired men saying, how do you know that? Where did you learn that? And he just says, I just know. God, I thank You for that gift of grace and wisdom in his life. I thank You for a strong family and an absolute marvelous wife. God, I just thank You for what You're doing here. I pray a blessing on leadership. I pray for a spirit of unity. And I pray that we become more like You because it's Your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I love you guys.